Frustrated by how long it's taking to reopen the state and the impact that it is having on small businesses, the town council of Cromwell voted unanimously to send a declaration to Governor Ned Lamont calling on him to speed up the process. The council met in person, minus one member who actually called in for a 2.5-hour meeting. 90 minutes of that time was spent in a closed-door executive session with their town attorney, listening in via Zoom. Mayor Enzo Fienza, earlier this month, within the last couple of weeks, I think it was, sent an impassioned letter to Governor Lamont saying many small businesses in his town and in the state will never reopen. He said in his letter, he had supported Lamont's original decision to issue a stay-at-home order as the coronavirus spread across the state, the nation, and even the world. But this shutdown has lasted way too long, saying, quote, "We're beyond the crisis stage. More and more, none of this makes sense. It's okay for me to stand in line to go get groceries in a grocery store, but I can't get a haircut," end quote. We have the mayor of Cromwell, Enzo Fienza, joining us. Good morning, Enzo.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today? Thank you for having me.
I'm doing well. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fantastic. Like you just said, the weather is gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. You know,
moving on to summer-like times and time to get back to normal.
So many people are heralding you as brave and, in some regards, a hero to some, because you are speaking your mind and you're taking the governor to task. And that's well and good. And when I first heard of this, I applauded you. I'm like, man, this is great. I'm so proud of this guy. But let's be realistic. Can you really override the governor's executive order?
So that's a great question, Gary. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, that's a very difficult thing to do, as, you know, he has that absolute power, which the legislature granted to him, and nobody can, you know, I guess there's a time period where they could have reconvened to put limitations on it, but none of that happened. Leadership on the other side didn't do that. So ultimately we have a governor right now who's just, you know, making all these decisions for us in the state of Connecticut, which is really unfair to so many. I mean, yes, can the town violate the executive order? Sure. But then that opens up a can of worms, and really who I think would get hurt are those businesses, because the governor threatened to pull their licenses and potentially cause them, you know, issues, and that would hurt them in the long run. But what the goal of this declaration is to hopefully have a spiral effect through other towns throughout the state. And many other towns have reached out to me when we voted last week to have the town attorney draft the declaration. Other towns reached out and said, hey, when you have that declaration done, Mayor, can you please forward it to us? And I'm going to do that to the towns that want it. And the goal is to just, again, bring more awareness to the governor on what's happening on Main Street, because I truly don't believe he understands the ramifications of what's happening in the local communities. And they're ready, willing, and able. They want to follow the rules, but the phases are way too slow. The numbers are just going down and really don't add up. And I feel that really what should have been done, you know, and I'm not playing Monday morning quarterback, I'm just seeing this, is that our long-term care facilities is where the problems exist. You take Cromwell, for instance. Unfortunately, we had 25 deaths due to the virus. 24 were in long-term care facilities. And unfortunately, you know, they've been decimated. So, you know, I'm fighting for our small businesses. I'm fighting for our rights. And everything that I'm trying to do, and along with the town council, yesterday's vote changed a little bit. One did change their mind. So it was a 5-1 vote. And the other one couldn't attend, but it is on the record that he strongly supports the declaration. It's just to get awareness out there and to get healthy people back to work and, you know, follow the guidelines that the best we can in a safe manner. But it's time to get this economy going.
Yeah, I agree. What's the political composition of your town council?
We're 5 Republicans to 2 Democrats.
Okay, so that one that defected or more or less changed his or her mind, was that a Democrat?
Yes, it was.
And the one that could not attend, a Democrat as well?
He was.
Okay.
Yeah. He called me, though, and wanted it on the record. He had a personal conflict, but he did want it on the record, and I did put it on there that he supports the declaration.
Does support. So he's going against his, you know, his governor's party, yeah. His party,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah, he's a former small business owner, so I think he, you know, I know he understands what's going on out there.
Do you think the person who changed his mind has received any pressure from his party or from the governor?
You know, it's hard to say. I'm not going to really get into that. That's all a possibility, seeing the Democrats on Friday in town decided to make this political and sent out this long rebuttal against me and the actions that that person actually voted to support 3 days earlier, saying that, you know, I was grandstanding and trying to make this myself a political issue, where that's the complete opposite. If anybody knows me, I'm passionate about our people, I'm passionate about our state, and really I just feel that someone needs to step up and be a voice, because otherwise, you know, they're talking, these phases are in 30-day increments, and many of these businesses aren't going to make it. I mean, these phase three businesses, I mean, I don't see any hope for them, and it's sad. And I get the calls every day, you know, calls or messages, you know, and it hurts. It hurts.
Mayor, when you brought this to the town attorney and you said, I've got this idea, let me run this by you. What did your town attorney, Carrie Olson, correct? Is that your town attorney?
Yes.
What did she say to you when she initially heard this from you? Did she say, don't waste your time, or it has no legs, or, oh, yeah. I mean, having a legal background and her position being town attorney, I would think that she's got some knowledge in whether or not this will have any impact. What was her initial reaction to you?
Yeah, I mean, from an attorney standpoint, obviously, you know, there's no, they're not going to advise you, obviously, to try to violate any executive orders, because at that point, you know, you're walking on shaky ground and potentially, again, like I mentioned earlier, causing some major issues. But the thought was there that, you know, that we may have options, various different ones, and that's why we did go into executive sessions. And I can't get into everything, obviously, for FOI purposes, but, you know, there were some deep discussions on our options in that. But in you know, after having those discussions, we came up with this idea, feeling that this could put the most pressure on him, and if you read the declaration, Gary, it's got some great case law in there throughout the country that really gives it merit, and it's really an outline for challenges that any small business may want to take against the governor, but for other towns to follow, and again put this pressure on the governor to understand that, you know, we can't stay shuttered like this much longer.
No, you're absolutely really right. What other towns did you hear from?
Wallingford reached out. I know Southington was doing something. Killingly already passed their own resolution. The other town was Killingworth, I think, was looking into it. So, you know, I hope it becomes, you know, a sort of like the no tolls resolutions that happen throughout the state, where it really gets some momentum. And
yeah, but I guess I'm concerned, though, for the businesses, where if they could get their licenses revoked for not adhering to his executive order, but rather, you know, adhering to this proclamation that you know, the town put through, you know.
Yeah. So we've made it very clear that we're not violating executive orders, that this declaration is something to, again, go to the governor and put pressure on him to start to rethink. You know, something that's not talked about either is this whole reopen team that was put together has no legislators on there. No,
we've talked about that. Oh, every day we talk about that. Yeah,
and it's like we're the best, you know, local municipal leaders. We're the best, you know, eyes and ears on the ground. And why weren't we involved in this? We have a group of these business owners, you know, for the most part, multimillionaires, and then a consulting firm from Boston that we paid $2 million to do. And again, I questioned that and said, we have the best, you know, assets right here in our state. Why aren't we involved in
that? Yeah, we talk about that every day. Every day. What a waste of money when we had, and why the legislature is being locked out. And why are these meetings being held behind closed doors that are not FOIable, that there's no media allowed, in there, and that in fact they don't even take minutes of these meetings. And then we can always argue about the $2 million that we're on the hook for this, you know, Boston Consulting Group, who none of them even live in the state of Connecticut, you know, and one of them I heard went to school with Ned Lamont and so on and so forth. So I mean,
yeah.
you got to follow the money, you know. So you're doing it. Even knowing that you can't override the governor's, but you're hoping that other towns, you know, jump on this, and that the governor really looks at this, I guess, more seriously than he's has been. Do you think you're having any impact on his decisions?
I definitely think that you know, since this has began, that we're now, you know, in the back of his mind, as you know, I've been mentioned in a couple of his press conferences, and you know, definitely think that I'm hearing that he may be reconsidering some of the timeline. So I'm hoping, you know, I don't have any, you know, fact or evidence of it, but you know, I do think that little by little, you know, it's got to get to him. And again, if more, you know, if the people in these towns are speaking up, you know, you got to listen to your constituents, right? That's what we were elected for. You know, we're not, you know, in Cromwell, I try to, you know, listen to the various, you know, opinions and get the best input, and we make those decisions. And you hope the governor would listen, you know, to the state, to his people in the state, and start to move in a little quicker manner. You know, and again, everybody wants to do things in a healthy manner. We're not trying to cause chaos or spread the COVID-19, but overall we need to get people back to work, and the numbers aren't there. I heard you talking to Lori earlier, and you know, it makes a lot of sense, and at some point we need to move along. And I'm glad the casinos decided to open up next week, and their plan is amazing. I listened to the president yesterday, and I said, wow, you know, they've got a great plan, and he has to believe when I say the governor and his people, like we do, to do the right thing. We don't need Big Brother watching over us every minute.
No, we don't, and that's a whole other conversation. Why do you think, though, that the governor is dragging his feet? I mean, think about this. Even New York and New Jersey, which are the two states that had more cases of coronavirus, right? Connecticut was third. But even those two states are further along than Connecticut.
Yeah, I mean, it's mind-boggling, Gary. I mean, you know, and that's part of the frustrating thing about what's happening in Connecticut is you know, the numbers aren't adding up. And again, I don't, you know, any death is horrible, and you know,
of course,
can all agree that, you know, the disease is real, and the virus is real, and it's out there. But none of this makes sense. And you know, 2 weeks ago, you know, or a week and a half ago, you know, salons were set to open and barbershops, and then all of a sudden, and it wasn't for a health reason, for because some of the, you know, lobbyists reached out and said some of the salons aren't ready. Well, so what? You have a whole bunch that were ready, and, you know, so the goalposts got moved again. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand what's going on anymore. And like I mentioned in the letter, we're well beyond the crisis. You know, you prepare for the worst. You hope for the best. Thank God, you know, we haven't seen these astronomical numbers that were predicted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the virus has a high recovery rate. I think it's like 98%. And, you know, we know it hits the most vulnerable. We know we need to protect them. We get that. So why are businesses still, you know, shuttered? Why are we have the opportunity to have them open up? It doesn't make sense. I don't understand, other than, you know, he's just listening to his consultants and not hearing his people.
You know, we heard about the barber shop in, was it, in Pawcatuck, Connecticut?
Yeah, it was Pawcatuck.
Yeah, and it was about a week or so ago, and they opened up despite the executive order issued by Governor Lamont, and then they were, you know, they received a cease and desist of operations, and I think they were even after they did honor that and closed, they were still, I from what I hear, slammed with a fine. What we don't want to happen is something similar in the town of Cromwell. And as the mayor, I know you don't, you know, you'd feel terrible if you caused any harm like that to any of the business owners. But and I know you're very involved and you're very active in your town of Cromwell. What have the small business owners conveyed to you?
Oh, Well, many, you know, have conveyed that you know, enough is enough. They want to get back to work. They're ready to get back to work. They're willing to follow every guideline. Many were upset that the big box stores had an opportunity to stay open. You know, you could drive by a Walmart or a Home Depot on a Sunday and you know, the parking lot is packed, but you couldn't go down to your local, you know, store in the downtown area, a little consignment shop, and shop. You know, they're frustrated, you know. Again,
yeah, but they're saying, but let's be fair here, and I'm not, you know, listen, I think everybody knows where I stand on this. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. But in fairness, I mean, the Walmarts and the Targets also sell groceries, right? And they also have pharmacies in there. So, you know, maybe that's not a good comparison. The one I use is, why is the little hardware store not allowed to open, but Lowe's and Home Depot are, you know? Because I'd rather compare, you know, tit for tat, you know?
Yeah, but you also have to understand that Walmart sells clothes, you know, and Target sells clothes. And again, I have a little consignment shop who is suffering. You know, she doesn't even know if she's going to make it. So I'd still compare those, because they're still if they were just selling just groceries, okay, or just have their pharmacy, but they're selling all these other goods that you now can't go to a local store and buy. But I agree with your point on with the hardware stores and all that. But you know, the point is, it's fairness. It's you know, why, you know, are these businesses weren't allowed to open? You still have many now. Someone made a comment like, well, only barber shops and salons aren't open. No, that's not true. You have gyms, you have dance studios, karate studios, you have sporting clubs, you know, massage therapy.
If these businesses were allowed to reopen, Mayor, do you think the people are going to quickly head out to them and pack their businesses, or do you think there'll be a slow pivot to
Again, I think you're going to have those that are, you know, I was out this weekend and, you know, I was out Mystic and it was packed. So I think you're going to have those that are ready and willing and want to go. And then you're still going to have those who are afraid and are going to, you know, take it slower. But I think, you know, the decision should belong to those businesses that are ready and willing.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I completely agree.
You know, will there be a mass, you know, jump to get back? You know, maybe not, but I think those that want to will, and at least the businesses have a choice and the opportunity.
And the others will take will eventually get there. The ones that won't go right out. How political do you think this has become?
You know, you hope that it's not, but it just seems like the longer it goes on and on, you question, you know, why? Why is Connecticut, you know, really taking its time when the numbers don't add up, and you question the motives behind it, and you just wonder why. I mean, again, those 30-day increments are really staggering for some of these businesses. That just, you know, the governor made a comment yesterday that, you know, with the casinos, that he wants them to hold off for 2 weeks, and 2 weeks is a long time and can mean a lot. Well, what about those businesses that are waiting for June 20th, and then those that for July 20th? And, you know, it's very hard right now. And you know, the longer this goes, the less sense it makes.
Have you reached out to your state representative, who I know is my former colleague,
yes,
Christy Carpino? And your state senator, and what is your state senator is Democrat, correct?
Yes, he is.
So he's got probably a closer access to the governor. What has your state senator said and say regarding this?
Yeah, I haven't spoken about this, and my guess is, you know, and I'm not going to speak for him directly, but.